Yeah, the bigger the building is, usually that means that there's going to be a proper building management company that's taking care of it. If it's too small, it might be self-managed by the owners, which means that they decide by themselves when there needs to be an inspection and a renovation. And if they're not professionals, they might not be doing a very good job. So maybe they're not collecting enough money from the owners and they don't have enough money to pay for renovation. So we can look at either, but I'd be a bit more careful with the due diligence when we start digging into a building if it's self-managed, which might be the case with the smaller ones. But normally, if it's 5 floors or less, there's probably not going to be an elevator, which makes the building fees a bit cheaper. I base my decision on how much you're paying every month and if you're comfortable with that, not on the size of the building.
Hi there, folks, and welcome or welcome back to Nippon Trading International's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Emil Gorgis of realestate.jp. He's a Tokyo real estate agent who specializes in serving international or mixed nationality families who are looking for the perfect family home. So Emil's an Australian. He's been living here in Japan for over 2 decades now. And for about half of that time, he's been buying, selling, and managing real estate properties in Tokyo on behalf of his own family and a great many happy clients. And he also acts as a mortgage broker on behalf of his clients. So he's got dedicated loan officers in many of the Japanese mega banks. And if you're a regular listener of the podcast, you probably already know him from our JREP, the Japan Real Estate Experts panel sessions, which means that you're already aware of the fact that the man is an absolute fountain of wisdom on all things related to real estate in Japan, and in particular to family homes, the greater Tokyo metropolitan area, and mortgages. And most importantly, he's incredibly generous with his time and advice, which he's more than happy to provide at no cost or commitment to anyone asking. So if you've been thinking about buying your home in Tokyo, but you've been sitting on the fence for a while, or you just want to have a chat in English with a real expert, drop him a line on sales@realestate.jp. Hit him up today and start exploring your options. And before we dive right into today's episode, just a quick personal request. We know that you're tuning in. We know that you're listening. Subscriber and download numbers are steadily rising for the podcast month by month in the 9 years we've got it going, which we really appreciate. Really glad the podcast is bringing you some value, but we could really use your help with ratings, which will only take you a few seconds, or even better, if you can spare a minute or two, an actual review. This helps us reach more people, which in turn helps them get the information that they need or are looking for. So if you could just pause this episode for a split second, hop over to the show's page, wherever you're tuning in from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, whatever the case may be, and just click the rating or review button, whichever you've got the time for. That would be absolutely fantastic. Truly appreciate your support. All right, so for today's episode, these are two back-to-back conversations with two first-time buyers. This first one's actually already been on the podcast about a year or so back, but his strategy changed a bit, so he wanted to touch base again and discuss his new focus, which is to purchase a hybrid holiday home that could also be rented out occasionally when not in use, anywhere in Japan, really, or at least within such a long commute to the nearest international airport that it doesn't really matter where in the country he'd be. His budget is pretty low, though, about 7 million yen, which of course led us to discuss which he'd be better focusing on at this budget, houses versus condos, from both an age and maintenance perspective, but also thinking about the potential for short-term or monthly rentals and why these would be the only viable option, considering Japan's tenancy laws for long-term residential rentals as opposed to these, or maybe fixed-term leases, if that's an option he could consider instead, depending on how long these types of tenants normally stay in place, which we also discuss, what's possible and not possible with condo units, how to find property managers who can handle these various rental scenarios, larger versus smaller footprint properties, advantages and disadvantages of both, self-managed versus professionally managed buildings in case of a condo purchase, how to run proper due diligence on these buildings, where to buy exactly to suit his goals. We also discuss student rentals and share houses as potential investment strategies. And finally, we talk about the various purchase costs that are associated with a purchase at this budget, including our own fees, and also about where he could find potential listings. So a really good deep dive on the topic of hybrid holiday home slash rental property purchases. Have a listen and don't go anywhere. We've got another call coming your way right after this.
Okay, so we spoke a while back, but you'll need to refresh my memory. There's a lot of calls in between, so please.
Yeah, it was. I think it was the last year. Maybe we spoke about the apartment, and honestly, I was a bit confused about everything. So I just took my time, and I was just gaining more information. Also, I was saving
confused,
money.
Confused as in I didn't explain something properly.
No. I was confused by myself and what I want from the property. So first, I was thinking that I want to go purely to rent it out. But then I was just thinking about it and just settled my mind. And then I realized I want to have like more like a vacation house, vacation apartment where I can just spend maybe 2-3 months, because I just moved to Thailand, to Bangkok, because I can now work remotely. So like your digital nomad classical thing. So it's more possible for me to just go there, hang in Japan and take advantage of the visa. So I can be there maybe 3 months in a year. And Okay. Yeah, that's basically my first target. But then again, I was watching some videos from you, from other guys, and there was like this bug in my head. How can I make it not profitable, but maybe how can I get some money back from the apartment? So I started to think about like renting it, and then you said to me, it's not entirely possible, right? Because the short term renting
apartment if it's a condo unit, short term stay licensing is going to be near impossible because the owner union has to agree to that and write it specifically in the owner union rule book. And 99% of owner unions don't want that and don't allow that. And you could rent it out by the month. If it's in a big city, if it's in a big city where we can find a property manager who can handle monthly rentals, then you could maybe rent it out by the month. But it depends on, so the owner union can't officially, legally not prohibit that, but they can make life harder for the property manager if they don't like it. They'll tell them that they can't put the key box hanging outside, or they'll knock on the door and bother the guests and ask them, are you renting this on Airbnb? They can make life a little bit difficult. But if it's a big city, there'll be property managers who can handle that.
And you consider, for example, Beppu as a big city or not? Because I don't know. I just, from my own... Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, because... And
no, I'm talking like
have you ever
Tokyo,
been to
Tokyo, Osaka, maybe Fukuoka, that Kyoto, that kind of thing.
Yeah. For
I've
me actually
yes,
doesn't
many time. I love it.
Yeah, I love it as well. So that's why I was checking, and I was living there in Airbnb actually. It was more like local neighborhood. I don't know. It was just apartment in a big building with many units. So that was my first thought, like, okay, if someone can just rent an apartment in Beppu like for a month to someone, maybe I can do the same. So I was thinking in this direction. So I don't know.
Well, Airbnb and apartments, Airbnb apartments exist, but usually they exist because somebody owns the entire building and then there's no owner union. They can just rent out whatever they want if the zoning allows it. Might be one of those rare buildings where the owners got together and decided that they allow it, but it's pretty rare. We can look for that. We might find one eventually, but I think you'll be waiting a long time to find one.
Okay. I mean, waiting is not a problem, but I just don't want to waste time. Maybe go to direction where it leads nowhere, so maybe you can
but
just
if you
face it.
Really want to explore the monthly rental option, we can start before we actually look for a property. We can start with some research to see if we can find monthly rental property management companies in Beppu.
Mm-hmm.
And if
That would be
they
awesome.
exist, then we can contact them. Yeah. I mean, well, we can research it for you, but then we would have to charge. Maybe ChatGPT can help you with that for initial research at least.
Yeah, I tried, but ChatGPT is just only good for some things. And if I want to go more deeper, he was just not very helpful. So that's why we're talking, because I think it's more beneficial when you can just, I don't know, find some contact and text them or call them. I think it's way better
Oh, no, I don't
because.
mean to make the contact. I just mean for the initial
Oh, okay.
research, just to see if there's any company
Oh,
advertising that kind of
yeah.
service. Yeah. Because if, I mean,
Right.
if ChatGPT can't find a single company that advertises monthly rental services in Beppu, it's probably a waste of money if to have us to search for that.
Okay, I will try. I'm just gonna take a note so I don't
Yeah, and if you
forget.
get a list of companies, then give us the list that ChatGPT finds for you, and then we'll go and contact them. It'll take less time than researching and contacting.
Oh, nice. Okay. So I have a maybe, I don't know, I have a document where I prepared some of the stuff. So I have some questions, and
Yeah, go
also
for it.
I have some, yeah. So basically, maybe the first, like my priority is about the apartment. So the first priority is that I wanna spend time there. I wanna enjoy the property. I wanna enjoy the neighborhood. So that's why I was thinking about the Gamma,
Gunma.
near Tokyo, Gamma, yeah, area,
You're saying
because
near Tokyo, but it's like 2-3
I know,
hours north of Tokyo, yeah?
yeah, and that's completely okay, because okay, it's
Okay.
just based on the Google Maps,
Yeah.
and I just checked, okay, here's an apartment, here is the forest nearby I can go, here is some like shrines and things I can go and hang out in nature, and also there's like a train which I can take and go to Central, so that is not a problem. So this
Yep.
location is kind of okay for me.
Sure.
Speaking about budget, and maybe that's gonna be like the biggest thing, I have sitting like 7 million yen. You think it's possible to work with that
I would
budget?
say so. I mean, it's not going to be a big or new apartment, but if you're talking about a
No.
studio or one bedroom in a building that's, let's say, 20, 30 years old, it should be doable, I think. Definitely up there.
Okay. Sure. So primarily looking for apartment, not the house. With the house, I'm just scared of the whole like maintenance
I totally
and
agree with that,
repairs
especially at
and
that
things.
budget. Yeah, if you're buying something
Yeah.
that was built like 10 years ago, then it's maybe worth looking at it. But if you're talking about a 7 million yen budget, it's going to be a house that it's at least 30 years old, probably more.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
that's going to come with a lot of maintenance headaches. I agree.
Yeah. I have a note, like it would be really nice if it can be like 40, 50 square meters, but I don't know if is it real or
I
not
haven't
really.
looked at Gunma much, so
Okay.
I can't really tell you, but we can start digging and see what we find. But is the monthly rental a must-have criteria? Because if that's the case, before we
No,
start
no,
bothering,
no, no.
no. Okay.
No, no,
Okay.
no, no. I mean, it's just like nice to have. So it's not
Okay, well,
mandatory to look for the monthly renters, yeah.
in that case, I mean, no, we'll look for them, but I'm just wondering at what stage of the process. So if it's not a must-have, then let's find the best apartment that we can find that you will enjoy staying in, both location and
Yeah.
size-wise. And then once you have that, we can start looking for potential options on renting it out. I've got a few
Yeah, exactly.
companies, I've got a few companies that I've been in touch with that could potentially, I mean, they're based in Tokyo, but they say that they service anywhere nationwide. I haven't tested them out yet, but we can give them a try if we don't find anyone local.
Yeah, sure. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
So it's just a huge plus for the apartment, but it's not like mandatory as we said.
Got it. No, I'd be interested in experimenting with one of those companies, actually. If you don't mind being the guinea pig, it could be interesting.
No.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Okay, so I prefer property with character rather than a standard modern condominium, which I think it's
A
with that budget is just.
condominium with character? What does that mean?
Yeah, I can send you some references, because As I said in my last email, I stumbled on a, it was maybe like 5 million yen. It was somewhere near Osaka. And it was like maybe 3-4 store building with like a circle windows. And it looked like really retro. Retro
but there was a
vibe.
There was an apartment.
Oh, it was apartment. It was apartment. Sorry.
I'm a little bit cautious of retro buildings because if they're too old, then the building fees monthly will go up very quickly.
What does it mean?
Well, with apartments, you're paying management fee, which is kind of doesn't change much, but you're also paying reserve fund contribution for the building's renovations. And those fees go up very rapidly once the building gets to about 40 years of age. So we normally recommend that people buy the condos 30 years and younger so that consider reselling it at around 37, 38 before those building fees start escalating. So let's see. But I mean, even if it's not a particularly a special building, you can still do the interior to be nice, right?
Yeah, that's true.
We interrupt this broadcast to tell you about Tokyo Family Stays. They're a short-term rentals company in Tokyo, and they offer a home away from home experience, which is just perfect for remote working, quarantining, if that's still a thing, or if you just need somewhere quiet to get away from the world. They offer a variety of options for families, corporate relocations, or even if you're simply transitioning between homes in Tokyo. The properties are super comfortable, tastefully furnished, fully equipped with all amenities, and they accommodate up to 10 people. So really the only thing you'll need to bring with you is your toothbrush and maybe a change of clothes. They come with fast, unlimited wireless internet, dedicated workspaces, and fully equipped kitchens. And they're just a delight to stay in. Fantastic alternative to Japanese business hotels, which if you've ever stayed in one, you probably know. They're tiny, they're noisy, fine for a night or two if you're on your own. But longer term or with a family, you'll probably feel you're in a jail cell very quickly in a Japanese business hotel. So if you want to give yourself a sense of space and freedom by renting a real home, with comfortable Western beds, including all the necessities like baby bedding, children's toys, high chairs, etc., you definitely want to reach out to Tokyo Family Stays. They've been at it for over a decade. They're a fully licensed minpaku or short-term stay operator. And as a special bonus for our viewers and listeners, they're also throwing in a breakfast basket upon arrival for anyone who books and mentions the Japan Real Estate Podcast or NTI. And not only for guests, if you're a property owner, you've got an investment property that you want to tweak for higher profit, or a holiday home that you want to rent out when you're not using it via short-term stays, drop them a line today, see how they can help you maximize your property's income. And again, as a special bonus to our viewers and listeners, they're also offering a free audit of your existing short-term stay listings without any obligation whatsoever. So feel free to reach out to them at tokyofamilystays.com. Well worth a visit. And again, if you're in the market for a family home in or around the Tokyo metropolitan area, Emil's your man. Don't be shy to reach out to him as well at sales@realestate.jp. And now back to the podcast.
What's your experience? Do people buy more like when there is a lot of units in the whole building, or they prefer like smaller buildings? Is there any pros and cons?
Yeah, the bigger the building is, usually that means that there's going to be a proper building management company that's taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too small, it might be self-managed by the owners, which means that they decide by themselves when there needs to be an inspection and a renovation. And if they're not professionals, they might not be doing a very good job. So maybe they're not collecting enough money from the owners, and they don't have enough money to pay for renovation. So we can look at either, but I'd be a bit more careful with the due diligence when we start digging into a building if it's self-managed, which might be the case with the smaller ones. But normally, if it's 5 floors or less, there's probably not going to be an elevator, which makes the building fees a bit cheaper. I'd base my decision on how much you're paying every month and if you're comfortable with that, not on the size of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
in any case, once we submit an application to purchase, we're going to get the buildings, they call it the investigation report with the building's renovation history, renovation plans, how much they've got collected in reserve funds. That's the due diligence that we need to do seriously on condo units.
Mm-hmm.
And some smaller buildings are managed badly and some bigger buildings are managed badly. We're not really going to know until we get that report.
Okay. So overall, it's better to to buy and look for the apartments which are better maintained, right? Logically, because if I want to exit it and just sell it maybe after 10 years or sooner, it's going to be easier to sell or get loose of the
That's definitely,
apartment,
yeah,
right?
that's definitely one aspect of it. And the second aspect is if, you know, if you're buying the unit and you're paying $100 a month in maintenance fees and you're comfortable with that, but it suddenly jumps to $400 because they haven't budgeted correctly and there's some, yeah, so we want to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, sure. Okay, there's the close to train station note. So I was just looking at the sumo, and always I check the like 7 minutes or 10 minutes mark. So it would be really wonderful if it's close to train.
That's good for your guests. If you do manage to rent it out, that'll be good for your guests too. Yeah.
Good access to a larger city or city center or whatever within like 2-3 hours. That's totally fine. Quiet area with nature nearby. So that's my biggest priority, to have nature nearby and just so I can spend the time there.
Well, you've filtered your locations based on that, right?
I was just filtering on sumo some locations, but honestly it was just like shooting blindly somewhere and looking what's available.
Okay, so
So
we're not targeting Gunma specifically. We're targeting anywhere that, okay.
yeah, so maybe like outskirts of cities, of big cities, smaller cities, I don't know. I think I'm not really familiar with the cities and with the locations. So if you can help me with this, it would be
Well,
really good.
which airports can you normally fly into? Because you mentioned Beppu, but that's the nearest airport would
Yeah,
be
that's
Fukuoka Airport. I'm not sure if you got direct flights to there.
yeah, so Narita is, I know to the Narita is direct flight, and I think when I checked, Fukuoka is always an option. So maybe these two airports. And I just know that one of my friends, when I started to learn Japanese, there was a lady and she bought a house in Hokkaido. So we were speaking about that experience, and she told me like, I would not do it again because there's a lot of snow. We need to pay
Very
like
different
to the
climate, yeah.
neighbors. Yeah, very different climate. So maybe like we can keep in the warmer side. So Fukuoka, maybe it's actually better, but I never been there, so it's hard for me
Fukuoka is
to
not that different from Tokyo and Osaka. It's a pretty similar climate. Maybe a little bit less humid and doesn't get as cold, but Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, Fukuoka, they're all pretty similar climates. And if you want to be close to an actual nice looking beach, I definitely go for Fukuoka.
I mean, beach is not the priority since I'm
Okay.
living in Thailand, so it's
Yeah.
pretty accessible here.
Okay.
So more like forest, hills, and yeah, and like these kind of areas.
Okay, and how far from the city do you want to be? From a big city, I mean.
Depends. I don't, if the infrastructure is good, so I can get there by train because I have a driving license, but I don't know if I'm gonna be able to drive in Japan anytime soon. So if it's good connected with the trains, I don't mind. It's basically okay for me. So
Basically, okay, what, up to 5 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours?
it can be like 6 hours, it can be 5 hours.
That's
I don't
anywhere in
mind.
Japan, man. Okay, that's
Oh,
you
really?
can get in, yeah. You can get anywhere in Japan within 6 hours driving from an airport. Yeah. So I'm just thinking, because we're gonna ask an agent to start searching for listings for us. We better narrow down the locations a little bit, at least take them one by one. So maybe make a list of preferred big cities that you want to be close to.
Yeah, I mean Tokyo, Osaka and
Tokyo,
Kyoto,
Osaka,
right?
Fukuoka.
So yeah,
Okay.
Fukuoka is what we're looking for.
Okay.
Maybe Oita, that's close to
Right.
Fukuoka, right? Or is it just yeah? So
Oita is
maybe
about
Oita.
2 hours from Fukuoka, ish.
That's totally cool.
Okay. Well, do you want to stick to the bigger cities? I'm just thinking about the short-term stay property management options. Because I don't know, Oita, Gunma, those kinds of locations, I don't know that you're going to have too many short-term stay management company, monthly stay management companies.
I see. I don't know. I mean, the closer we can get to like the center or to the city, it's probably better for me.
Okay.
But I don't know if I can manage it with the budget. So I was just, yeah.
Okay, well let's
Because,
start near the big cities, and then if we can't find anything within the budget, we'll start spreading out.
yes, that's perfect. Okay,
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 so what I'll do is I'll reply to your last email with just a blank email that has my mobile number on it. And if you could add me on WhatsApp or Line or whatever you like to use,
Yeah, nice.
then I'll loop in a real estate agent who can help, and we'll take it from there.
Cool.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
Exciting.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm just gonna check if I left something out from my questions, because if I don't have like prepared something, I'm lost. Okay,
I think
apartment
we'll
versus
have a lot
house.
more Q&A once we're actually looking at listings.
Oh yeah. Airbnb Manpaku, we did it. Montreal and Tells, we did it. Oh, I saw one video and it was about renting to students. So I found one property which was a house actually. I know we were not speaking about houses, but it just went through my mind. I saw it and the whole house was like two or three stories house, really like nice from the outside. And it was for 9.3 million yen, and it was near university. I don't remember which university. I can send you the link on the WhatsApp later. But I was thinking maybe that's another category of buying, because the 7 mil is just what I want to spend, but I can spend a little bit more if we change the strategy or something will just happen. We're gonna find something unique. So I was just thinking about it as a as another strategy, another
Student
approach.
rentals, you mean what? Like a share house where each student gets a room?
Yeah, either, yeah. Basically like a share house. So I
I
could
mean,
just.
finding property managers that can manage a share house is even rarer than finding ones that can manage monthly
Okay.
rentals. There's not many of them.
Let's not
We
do that then.
can look for that if you want, but then we have to
No.
head in a whole different direction. And so up to you. You can
Yeah.
start whichever way you want.
No, I think it's better for me to start smaller, just get used to everything and get familiar, and we can see. Because I can always change the strategy, right? Once I have the apartment and, for example, I'm not gonna go there for a year, I can always rent it out, right? For like 1 year agreement to anyone.
You can, but finding a tenant who will agree to a fixed term agreement is going to take more time, and it's usually more fancy. It's fancier apartments that do that.
Okay, I see.
The tenants that are easy to place are 2-year rolling leases, meaning the tenant expects that the lease will be renewed every 2 years. And if you want not to renew the lease, then you would have to offer them compensation so that they don't complain and have, they do have a legal leg to stand on if they decide that, you unjustifiably are not renewing the contract. So we can try to do that, but it'll take longer to find a tenant who will agree to a fixed term 1-year contract.
So maybe can you give me like basic information how the tenancy work in Japan? So you mentioned 2 years agreement, so
Two
it's
years
basic
and
like.
it's a correct, and it's assumed that the lease is automatically renewed at the end of the 2 years at the same rent amount. So if you want to raise the rent or you want to not renew the lease, you can notify the tenant 6 months before it expires. And in most cases, I mean, if the rent hike is reasonable and, they can't find a cheaper apartment, then they'll probably agree to pay a higher rent. But if it's not reasonable, they might just move out. If you want them to move out, meaning you're telling them you don't want to renew the lease because you want to use the property yourself, then we would suggest to offer them compensation of about 6 to 10 months rent, because
Really?
that's what it costs them to move. And Tenancy laws in Japan are tenant-oriented. We've never had a Japanese tenant complain or take us to court because they don't like conflict. Most of them just move out. But I would suggest to offer them compensation, number one, because it's the right thing to do, and number two, to prevent them complaining to court.
Oh, okay, I see. That's very different than in Europe.
Yes. Very different than most of the world, yeah.
So how it usually go, like, okay, if we have a real scenario, I will buy the apartment, I will, for example, use it two, maybe 3 years or maybe 1 year, and I will realize, okay, I wanna rent it. So I will just find a tenant, 2 years agreement, and then, for example, I wanna go back to the apartment after the 2 years. So I need to pay them the 6 months
I would suggest to do
fee.
that. We can try not to and see if they don't complain too much, but I would suggest to make it smoother, I would suggest to do that, yeah.
Okay, I will take a note to just search
Look,
more about
again,
this topic
you
because
don't
it's
have
very
to.
interesting.
You don't have to, and we have had cases where the owners didn't want to offer that and it wasn't an issue. I'm just saying because the letter of the law is tenant oriented, that's we recommend to do that to avoid trouble, potential trouble.
And is it common that the young people they just rent a house and they stay there, or how long they
But
use the apartment?
Japan being Japan, most of your tenants are not going to be young people. It's an elderly society here.
That's true.
The average tenancy on a smaller apartment, like if it's a studio or one bedroom, I would say 4 to 5 years normally, 4.5 years, let's say. If it's bigger, like you mentioned, 40, 50 square meters, which is more couple or small family sized in Japan, they might stay a little bit. If it's a family, like a full-sized family house, they stay 7, 8 years on average, but 40, 50 is probably more young couple or maybe young couple with one single child. So I don't know, 5, 6 years is the average until they can afford a mortgage and move out.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I will look about look look through it more. Okay. Personal use versus rentals. Okay, we did this. Oh, the remote management. Okay, we spoke about it. Friends. Oh, this is kind of important. Okay, so if I own the apartment and I want my family or my friends from Czech Republic or worldwide come to my apartment to spend maybe 2 weeks, 1 week, 1 month. Is it okay, or how the other tenants react to this?
No,
They have
no
no
problem
problem
at
with
all.
it.
That's your property. You can do whatever you want with it, including renting it out long term or monthly. It's only the short term stays, the ones that are done on booking platforms without a lease. They're the ones that need licensing. Otherwise, it's not an issue. The owner union might request that whenever somebody's coming to stay at the apartment, then you fill in a form to let them know who's staying there. But other than that, no issue. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, what about the cost or maybe hidden cost or the tax and stuff like this? So if I have like 7 mil like sitting, I'm counting that I will cover everything with the purchase in that sum, or should I prepare something more? Because
It
I know
depends on
about
how
your
much you.
fees.
Our fees are, well, if we're doing everything on your behalf, then our fee is a certain percentage. But at the moment, we're not going to be able to do that because we're a bit swamped. So if you want us consulting on the purchase, that's just 110,000 yen. So that's not too expensive. But your purchase costs would be about, worst case, I'd say about 15%. So if you're talking about 7 million including costs, that gives you about 6 million for the listing. Or if you're talking about 7 million not including costs, then that gives you, what's that? Then including costs, it would be about 8 million.
Yeah, I think we can just stay in the range of 7 mil for now with the costs, and
Well, I'll let the
I mean,
agent know
if,
that
yeah.
it's slightly flexible in case we find something really
Yes,
nice that's going to
yes.
be a bit more.
Okay. Yeah, and that's it. That's it, basically.
And then my
So,
annual property tax is going to be a few hundred dollars as well. Just keep that in mind,
okay. Yeah. So it's once a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a studio in an older building that costs that much, it's usually going to be about 20, 30,000 yen per year. And
Okay, that's not that bad.
you're talking about 40, 50 square meters. So let's say up to 40, 50,000 yen a year. Hopefully not less than that. But yeah, insurance is going to be something like 40,000 for a 5 year period. So let's say another 10,000 a year.
Okay. And you need insurance? Is it mandatory? Or
It's not
it's just nice
mandatory,
time?
but earthquakes and typhoons are a thing in Japan. I'd recommend having it.
Okay. I mean, from my side, it's practically all the questions or the information I had. So maybe we can just proceed. I will just send you maybe a few, maybe two, three links, just so you can see Edward, but the vibe of the building.
Yep,
And
that's a good start. I'll give you my feedback about those. That'll give you an idea of what we look into when we do due diligence as well.
Yes,
And
yes.
then, yeah, once we have a short list or if we have a clear criteria, then I'll loop in an agent and we'll get started.
Oh, also one more question. So I was looking at Sumo only, and is there any site I can look and check properties that you have something in the shelf?
Sumo. At homes, homes. Hang on, I had a list somewhere. Let me just dig it up for a second.
Yeah.
Where is that? Hang on. Here. So I'll copy that list. There's a bunch of websites on there, including Sumo, and the last one is Fukuoka Kyushu specific.
Nice.
So you can look there as well. I'll reply to your
Oh, into
last
the email.
email,
Okay.
with that list. And again, you also got you've got my phone number. You've
In
got
the
my phone
email.
number there in the signature. So just
Yes.
send me a WhatsApp or a line and we'll take it from there.
Cool. Okay. Thank you very
All right.
much.
Looking forward to it. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, same. Bye. Have a nice one.
Bye for now.
Now, if you're actively looking at property in Japan, you should check out Akiya Mart. That's AKIYA hyphen Mart, MART, akiyamart.com. It's the Zillow of Japan, built for buyers who are actively hunting for a home in Japan and want a much more Western-style web browsing experience than the typical local Japanese websites. Now, we've got an exclusive 30% off promo code for the Akiya Mart Pro annual plan. That's the one that gives you full access to Airbnb zoning maps, hazard maps, sold data, and over 500,000 listings nationwide at any given time. So, if you're serious about buying in Japan and you want an easier way to search, this is the best tool that we know of. So you can use my code ZIV, ZIV at checkout and get 30% off your Akiya Mart Pro annual plan at akiyamart.com. All right, so for the second call, this one's with a couple. They're also looking for a holiday home and also considering renting it out when not in use. And they wanted to focus more on the costs involved in owning and maintaining a property here as non-residents who are only visiting a couple of months a year. What size and layout should they target? How old should the property be in both cases? Again, comparing condos versus houses. Where should they buy to suit their criteria, which is a bit more narrow than the previous buyers? They want to be in or close to a major metropolitan area, which led us to do a quick review of the various big cities in Japan, and then an overview of purchase costs again, and also of how our own services and fees would work. So slightly similar conversation, but from a bit of a different angle, different buyer profile, different questions, different goals and criteria. Have a listen to this one as well, and I'll see you one last time on the other side.
Okay, so you've mentioned Small property vicinity of Tokyo or other major metropolitan area, house or apartment which could host a family of four comfortably. Okay, so first thing I would mention is if it's an apartment, Airbnb or other short-term stay platforms are not an option. Mm-hmm. The way the legislation works here is the owner union of the condo building would have to approve short-term stay usage, and 99.999% of them would not approve that. They're not very keen on seeing strangers especially foreigners coming in and out with suitcases. If you own a house, or if you own the entire building, if it's like a small multi-unit apartment building, which is feasible price-wise in Japan, then that becomes an option if zoning regulations allow it and if we have a property management company that can handle it. So I guess the first thing to decide on is whether that's a must have or good to have after a settlement kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not a must have. It's a good to have. Yeah, but not a must have. Our main goal is, to get to have a pied à terre, like we call, like a place where we can, when we come to Japan, we don't have to bring all of our clothes with us. We have something that, a little home away from home. I'm all in, and as far as personally, I keep telling my wife, I'm ready to move there forever. I don't need to make this temporary, but right now we still have two young kids that need to go through, through some steps of their lives, and so that's not really an immediate option. But I'm open to that idea in the future. But right now, it's mostly like to have a place for ourselves, and maybe we can have my wife has a sister that's also interested into having a place in Japan, and we're like, well, maybe we can
if it's friends and family, it's nobody's business.
It's different.
But I just mean you won't be able to list it on Airbnb, Booking.com. I mean,
that's
if you have some kind of arrangement via your own channels and people happen to participate in utility fees by paying you directly, that's your business. Nobody can dig into that.
It just can't be like an official Airbnb listing or stuff like that. Yeah,
that's right.
But our permanent goal, we're just exploring. I'm just trying to wrap my mind around what the idea is. Like, if it was an super expensive thing to do, then of course, we need to rent this. If it's not super expensive, relatively speaking, we live in near San Francisco. It's very expensive here where we live, and so if it's within, I don't know how much, when everything is said and done, how much it costs to own a property in Japan, but I've heard rumors that it's affordable.
Tokyo is a lot cheaper than San Francisco, but it's not super cheap. And especially if you're talking about somewhere that would comfortably host a family of four, I'm assuming that's a minimum of a two-bedroom plus living dining kind of area apartment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think two bedrooms would be what we'd be looking for at the minimum. Yeah.
Okay.
So that two adults and two children can sleep in the same rooms and,
And have a common area.
And have a common area, yes.
Yeah. So in Tokyo specifically, that's not cheap. Also, depends on the size, not just the layout. Usually Westerners are used to larger rooms or larger common areas than the Japanese are. For a Japanese family of four, something that's, I'm not sure in feet what the translation is, but something that's 50-60 square meters is perfectly acceptable. But that means the rooms are going to be pretty small. So what constitutes as hosting a family of four comfortably for you is probably not the same for the Japanese.
Well, we're not typical Americans. I'm Canadian, first of all. We've traveled a lot. So we've been to Japan many times. So we are used to
let's stick to a typically sized two bedroom plus living, dining, kitchen area. If it's a condo, houses would normally be a larger layout than that. They usually start at around three bedrooms plus living, dining. Condo units would be feasible for two. In Tokyo specifically, if we want to keep the building, let's say 30 years and younger on purchase, because as it approaches 40, maintenance fees start rising a bit more rapidly, which results in resale value also dropping a little bit because people would expect lower yield in that case and so forth. So keeping in mind that we want to buy 30 years and younger normally and consider reselling it as it approaches 40. In Tokyo, you're probably looking at a minimum of 30 million yen, 30, 40 maybe.
No, I
If
understand.
it's fairly suburban, which works out to be 250, 300,000 US, I think. I'm not sure about Canadian, sorry.
Like,
Oh,
we
Canadian
live
is
in the
probably
US, so it's
closer
okay.
to the 100 to 1, right? Oh, you live in the US. Okay. All
Yeah,
right,
no,
San Francisco, you've
we're
mentioned. Yeah.
yeah, I have dual passport, a dual
Okay.
citizenship. We just live here. Okay. Well, so yeah, so basically, so there's that. Yeah, $200,000 US is within, I think, the ballpark of,
Start starting at 200,000 US.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This, but is it
I mean, you
specific to
could. I
Tokyo?
would consider this is specifically Tokyo. So that was going to be my next sentence. I would consider Saitama City, Kawasaki City, Yokohama City, maybe Chiba City if you're okay being about an hour from Tokyo and an hour from Narita Airport because those. I mean, Chiba City can be a little bit boring for some people. It's not nearly as exciting as Tokyo or Kawasaki, but it's cheaper, definitely cheaper. Otherwise, if you fly into Osaka, then suburban
Oh,
Osaka
sorry.
would be cheaper as well. Kobe City, which is about 30 to 45 minutes from Osaka, is also cheaper. And there's
Yeah, for
still
us it's
a big international feeling
I
city.
I'm yeah, I'm so with me so with me personally, right? I'm all for so we fly to Japan, jump on the Shinkansen, and go wherever it is our place is, and if the quality of life is met by the difference in cost, and that's fine. I don't, it doesn't have to be Tokyo.
How far of a Shinkansen trip are you thinking about, though, after you land?
Well, we haven't talked about this, but like I know what my
Or
wife
a
is willing
budget
to
flight,
yeah.
by the way. If you're not opposed to taking another short domestic flight, then there's a lot of places that will be within an hour from those cities.
Yeah, I mean, and let's put it this way, like I'm open to all ideas. I think we need to discuss this a little bit further. I think what matters to us, me personally, is to I don't want to spend a fortune, but I want to find a good ratio between, this place is has good food, the shopping is good, it's not too
That's
far
90% of
from,
Japan.
Different, yeah, exactly, right?
I would maybe look at it from more of firstly, a climate perspective. So I'm assuming you don't want snow country like in Sapporo City is a big and beautiful city, but it's cold. And
Yeah, so I
also
mean, I've
how access to nature is the second thing. Like Tokyo and Osaka, you have to travel a fair bit before you get out to beautiful mountains and rivers and so forth. Fukuoka City, on the other hand, has miles and miles of beach and very accessible nature, but it would take the extra schlep to get from Osaka Airport to Fukuoka City.
Yeah.
So it
And it's probably a
really
lot warmer in
depends
the
on.
summer also, right? It's probably a lot warmer in the
Not
summer.
really. Pretty
No?
similar. I'd say more moderate than Tokyo, so it doesn't get quite as cold or as humid as Tokyo and
Really?
Osaka and Kyoto do. We get maybe 4 or 5 days a year where it drops down to 0 Celsius, and there's a little bit of snow and everybody freaks out. But Tokyo gets a fair amount of snow on a regular basis during the winter, and
Yeah.
the summers because it's a lot more enclosed in the concrete jungle kind of situation, so it's a lot more humid. Whereas here we have a lot of ocean breezes and so forth, which Tokyo doesn't get.
Right.
But again, it's a bit of extra travel once you land in Osaka.
I see. I see. Well, yeah, I've never traveled south of Hiroshima, and so we've never been together to any of the other islands. Rina, you've been to the north, I think, right? Have
Hiroshima
you?
is nice too. It's a smaller city, but it's very, very comfortable.
We went to Nagoya to my my mother's family lives in Nagoya. Sorry, that.
I'm sorry,
Okay,
my kid was doing the
you're
dishes over there.
Japanese. Okay.
Japanese American. I'm third
Okay.
generation. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, Nagoya is lovely, but you probably know it better than I do. If your family is from there, it gets a bit more blue collar industrial.
Yeah, which we like. I mean, we went there this past trip, and I actually enjoyed it. We had the best coffee there.
Oh,
Best
that
breakfast.
could be a good compromise then, because it's close enough to both Tokyo and Osaka, and it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, so we're open to these things. So like I said, this is like just initial exploration of like, so let's say we aimed at a budget around, let's say 250, let's say around that price, or I don't, well, who knows? I have no idea. Definitely
I'd
less than home.
probably
Yeah.
steer clear of Tokyo itself
Yeah.
if you want to stay
Yeah.
within that budget, because that you'd be compromising on space, the how nice the property is going to be, how distant to a station, etc., if it's in Tokyo.
Yeah. Yeah. So for us, being in Tokyo is not necessarily the most important.
Probably be my first choice only because,
Like an
as Eric
hour.
said, the accessibility from the airport to get from San Francisco to Tokyo is like it's so easy.
Is
So that would be
Osaka not an easy direct flight?
I was saying that I think right for the sake of time and your time, I was thinking that maybe we should just stick with, let's just say we want to stick with the outskirts of Tokyo, those places you
Okay.
mentioned, or Saitama. My sister was on the JET program. She lives in Saitama, so I can get more feelers from her about Saitama City and what it's like living there. And then Yokohama.
So
So,
that would be like an hour train ride or so. Yeah.
okay. So Chiba, Yokohama, Kawasaki, maybe the outskirts of Tokyo if we get lucky, and Saitama.
We're open to, well, as we discuss, we will
Right.
probably open our mind to other possibilities, but right now let's just
Oh
focus
no,
on that.
narrow is good. It's easier to research if it's narrower. Yeah.
So that's what we're looking, that's the idea. So I think you so far, yeah, outskirts of Tokyo, and an hour away is fine. And then so that's where we at.
Okay, so the next step is to figure out if we're looking at condos, which would fit your floor plan, but would absolutely rule out short-term stays, or if you want to consider houses to leave that option potentially open in the future, but then you need to deal with ongoing maintenance costs. The house would be older because at this budget, with that plot of land, you're going to be buying something that's very likely to be 40 years, if we're lucky, maybe a little bit younger, a little bit older, but they're not built to last in Japan. So once they hit 30, 35 years of age is when the maintenance expenses start piling in.
I'd be curious to see what those houses would be like. Like I've never, I don't know, I don't have a clear picture of my mind of what this would, what this would look like. I'm open to that, but I mean, I think, like if you have examples of what. I don't know if you could share any like existing listings or past properties perhaps that you've helped people purchase. Maybe that would help be helpful.
We've got a bunch. It's going to take me a while to dig through and find them, but I can send you some listings. Actually, the listings won't be available because they would have been sold by now, but I can send you some summaries of stuff that we've helped people purchase. But again, my main concern there is that if the property is, let's say, 35 years and older, you're should be factoring in something like 2 to 3,000 Canadian a year in just average maintenance expenses. We also want to do a structural inspection because, again, 35 and older, it's quite likely they're going to have some major structural issues at this age because, again, they're not built to last. So that adds another, let's say, 2,000 Canadian to every listing that you're considering putting an offer on. Because you have to pay for the inspection yourselves. And it's less predictable. So you'll have 4 or 5 years where everything's hunky-dory, but then the roof goes, or then termite protection needs to be renewed, or the retaining wall around the property needs to be spruced up. So the expenses are far less stable and reliable than you'd get with a condo. It's just something to consider.
Yen Loans are a sponsor of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. They're a non-bank lender offering financing to both residents and non-residents of Japan for purchases of condominiums, as well as equity release cash-out financing against properties that you already own in Japan, whether mortgaged or fully paid off. They cover all of Japan's major metro areas, Greater Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto, Kobe, Nagoya, Fukuoka, and Sapporo, offering a full nationwide footprint for all of your condo purchase financing needs. No residency, incorporation, or Japanese bank account is required, and the application process is highly streamlined. They have legitimate backers, highly reputable, and I can personally vouch for their founder, Mark Drapkin. Yen Loans welcome your business. Reach out to them at yenloans.com and let them know that you heard about them on the Japan Real Estate Podcast to receive 50,000 yen off your loan application fee.
So here, you know, where we live, there's the concept of teardowns, right? People buy houses and they're just tearing them and they build something new from scratch.
Yeah, double.
How expensive is the construction in
your
Japan?
Typical cookie cutter kind of Japanese single family home is usually, I'd say, pre the Ukraine situation and now the state of Hormuz, it used to be around 15 million yen to construct a single, again, cookie cutter type single family home. These days I'd probably go more towards 20-25 million yen, assuming you own the land. You don't need to buy the land separately. Just the construction of a brand new single family home that's, let's say, 90 to 120 square meters would normally be about 20 to 25 million yen these days. If you need to demolish and remove the older structure, I'd add another 5-6 million yen to that.
Because when we were visiting, I saw some houses that were definitely newer, and I thought they were really cool. Like, they had like this cool modern Japanese architecture that, you know, simple materials but applied well, and like, that's something that also would be a potential possibility for me in my mind. But
well, I mean, the sky's the limit. The nicer they are, the nicer and more custom built they are, the more they're going to cost. But something that's kind of like factory line from a developer, what you're usually seeing in Japanese family home style, is about 20-25 million these days.
So I think initially our thought was to just buy what exists, and then and then If we went for a home, in the future, I could foresee improving it, you know, like investing in making it nicer so that, you know, we can eventually maybe even move there someday or not. So
that we can do anytime. But my bigger concern is what you need to fix up right after settlement to avoid it deteriorating, right?
I see. Yeah. Well, I don't know these things. So
I'm no expert myself. The structural inspection will tell us that.
So having an idea of what the you know, what the listings look like, and getting a good understanding of the financial, like from start to finish, when we have key in hand and everything is done, like your fees are paid, the taxes are paid, and then what's left? You know,
So I'll put ourselves aside for a moment. I'll break down the process. If you were to deal directly with a Japanese property agent, let's say we're not involved at all, you would be paying at this budget up to worst case about 15% purchase costs on top of the listing price, which breaks down into approximately 3% to the agent on settlement. Somewhere between 1.5% to 2.5% purchase tax, somewhere between 1.5% to 4.5% legal and registration fees. That and the purchase tax fluctuates depending on the official evaluation, which is always going to be a bit different to the market price. So that's not something that we can accurately estimate in advance. So we say worst case scenario up to 15%, hopefully closer to 10%. Okay. And all of that except the purchase tax is payable on settlement, with a 10% deposit payable about a month and a half, 2 months before settlement, when we sign the purchase contract, right? Then we can come in one of three ways. So we can either just introduce you to a foreigner-friendly bilingual realtor who will help you with the purchase If it's somebody based in Tokyo, then they'll probably be able to cover all of the country. So if you happen to change your location selection later, they'll be able to handle other cities as well. Just bear in mind that Japanese realtors, their job is to facilitate a legal compliant transaction. They're not going to, like the kind of conversation that we just had, oh, watch out for this, watch out for that, consider this. They're not going to do that. Their job is to be pointed at a listing, or they can research listings for you and make sure that you're the legal owner at the end of the process. That's what they're there for. So we can refer you to them to work directly with them. We don't charge for referrals. Welcome to it. We can come in as consultants to hold your hand as you work with the agent, just to guide due diligence, raise red flags, review the documents before you sign them, help you prioritize one listing over another for whatever reason. That's a fixed fee of 110,000 yen.
I should write that down.
But yeah. Which is about, I think, 800 US at the moment.
You can share the recording with us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
You can share the recording with us?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, wonderful.
So we're going to take note.
Yeah. So for handholding and guiding the process and making sure the agent asks all the right questions and we get all the right answers and documents are reviewed and so forth, we charge about 800 US. Mm-hmm. If you want us to do everything on your behalf, meaning you don't need to talk to any agents or any lawyer, you just talk to us, give us authority to act in Japan on your behalf, and we handle everything and you just sign the bottom line. For that, we charge a percentage of the property price, which is at your budget probably going to be 3 or 4%, depending if we pass the 30 million mark or not.
Okay. Okay.
But that service, the complete purchase facilitation service, we're not going to be able to do on the next few months, maybe until the end of the year. We're a little bit too swamped at the moment.
I see. Okay. Well, we're in no rush, but
the consulting route works well. We've been doing it for at least three and a half years now, and everybody seems to be quite satisfied with it. You just need to be a little bit more involved. So you'll need to talk to the agent directly, provide a few more documents, attend a few more online meetings, that kind of thing. But the level of consulting will be the same either way.
I see. Okay. And are there any gotchas in terms of taxes and in Japan?
I think the only gotcha that people maybe don't, I mean, there's property tax, but that's fairly cheap in Japan, going to be a few hundred bucks a year, maybe closer to 1,000 if it's a pricier property. Yeah. The only gotcha that people probably don't think about normally, or some people don't think about, is remote management. So if you're not physically at the property, and especially if it has, let's say, a backyard or a garden, or if the property is a bit older and somebody needs to keep an eye on maintenance, that all costs. If you're not physically doing it yourself, you're not here at least every other month, then those are costs that you need to factor in.
Right. Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
For condos, are there HOA kind of fees that we deal with in the United States to maintain the shared space?
Yes, but that substitutes you having to worry about the structure in case of a house, right? So you'll be paying your $100 or $200 a month, whatever the case may be, depending on the condo and how big it is and how fancy the building is. And then they cover everything related to the structure. The due diligence we'll do in that case is to make sure that they've been doing all of the necessary renovations and repairs over the last 10 years, that they have a renovation plan moving forward, that they've got enough collected in reserve funds to pay for the next big renovation so that they're not increasing the fees too rapidly. Right? But they're not I haven't lived in the States, but from what I hear from people living there, the HOA always has a hand in your pocket. There's special assessments, sudden fees that you need to pay for work that nobody was thinking of, late fees, fines, that none of that here. Everything is very by the book and you pay what you're supposed to be paying. We just want to do the due diligence to try and suss out how quickly we think those fees might go up in the future.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Okay. And then you only need to worry about your interior. So that's up to you. Mm-hmm. The balconies as well are covered by the owner union, because technically the balcony is not yours. It's part of the communal areas of the building. So they're covering balcony renovations and cleaning and anti-pigeon nets and everything that comes with that. Mm-hmm. You just need to worry about your interior, in the sense that you need to, again, thinking about remote management of these holiday homes, you want to make sure, if you're not renting it out, you want to make sure that somebody comes in once every month or every other month open up the doors and windows, do some light vacuuming, because humidity is a huge issue in Japan. If you leave it closed forever, it will very quickly run through your interior. The mold is a big thing here. So what you want to make sure is that the property is aired and lightly cleaned every month or couple of months. And then, you know, if and when the interior becomes too dated or wear and tear, then you decide what, when and what you want to renovate. But the structure will be covered by what you're paying monthly.
Right.
I see. Okay.
As will the common areas maintenance, lights in the lobby, any bushes or trees around the property, that kind of thing.
Okay. That's good to know. And what, let's see. So I'm sure you've been doing this for a few years. So
15 years now. Yeah.
15 years. Wow. That's amazing. So I'm sure at some point some people buy properties, but then they want to sell them because, you know, for whatever reason, they no longer.
Again, we'd recommend to sell them at a certain age to avoid the maintenance fees or building fees escalating. So we would normally reach out and say, hey, it's approaching that age. You might want to consider reselling it.
That's just for homes.
Investment properties or holiday home. No, condo units as well, because as the building approaches for it's concrete, so not as early as wooden structures, but as it gets to about 40 years of age, it does take more renovation, more maintenance, and building fees will go up more rapidly. So same story with a condo, it just takes a bit longer.
Okay.
Are there ever situations where those repair fees are too much? Like, is that why people don't necessarily
It affects a few things. It affects obviously your monthly expenses. If the building fees go up a bit more rapidly, then suddenly the 200 a month that you were paying on purchase suddenly creeps towards 400 a month, and that becomes a bit too expensive. If you're reselling the property, then whoever's buying it from you takes the same things into account, so they would expect a lower resale value as well. So let's say, you're looking around Tokyo, so that area will probably continue to appreciate. But if building fees are significantly more expensive, or if a buyer is expecting them to become more expensive in the near future, then they would expect a lower price. So you'd be maintaining your value or selling it a little bit under what you purchased it for, as opposed to gaining on it if you purchase it a bit younger. Mm-hmm. If you're reselling it a bit younger, I should say.
Okay.
But look, we do have clients who are so happy with how much they're saving on accommodation that they're happy to just ride it till it drops kind of thing, and then sell it for whatever they can get down the track when they're not using it anymore. So that's an option as well. But it's a bit more prominent for investors, because investors look at the yield that and you have mentioned that you're considering potential long-term renting it out at some point. So investors look at the yield. If somebody's buying the property from you, there's a tenant in there, it's generating a certain amount of income, the building fees eat significantly into that yield if they start going up. So then it would definitely affect the resale value a lot more.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking more in terms of so we do this, we buy a property 2 or 3 years down the road for movie. The camera is focusing on you for some reason. I don't know. So 5 years on the road, our kids, they I don't know what the camera is. The kids, they grow up, they go to college, whatever, and then we don't go to Japan for a few years, let's say, right? And we're for the next, I'm tossing a number here, completely hypothetical, 5 years. For the next 5 years, for sure, we're not coming to Japan because we have all these events happening and et cetera, et cetera. So that would be a situation where we'd be interested in finding a family to rent the property from us.
Japan's tenancy laws being what they are, bear in mind that leases are assumed to automatically renew every 2 years. So if at the end of those 5 years you want to take possession of the property again, we would need to wait until the lease is due to expire, and 6 months prior to that, let them know and probably offer them some compensation for what it costs them to move and find a new property. Otherwise, they do have a legal leg to stand. It's never happened to us with Japanese tenants, but legally they do have a leg to stand on if they want to complain about being unjustifiably removed.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, 4 years then. Oh, it doesn't matter. The idea is that I was thinking about, like, if there's a guaranteed period of time, 2 years minimum, where We don't plan on visiting the property. We would be interested in renting it. So
with the family in place, I would probably advise to consider more like 8 years.
8 years? Yeah.
Yeah. So the typical family stays in place, I don't know, somewhere between 7 to 9 years. Let's call it 8 years. And then I would advise to just wait until they don't renew anymore because family situation has changed and they need a new place or whatever the case may be, and then take ownership when they vacate of their own accord. And if you really want to, then we can ask them not to renew the lease, but then I'd offer them some compensations, usually somewhere between 6 to 10 months of rent.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good to know.
But that's only for a house because you cannot.
You can't.
No, no, both.
Oh, but you can't.
You can't rent out a condo short term for Airbnb. You can rent it out long term.
Got it.
You mean? Sorry, you said you can rent.
You can't Airbnb a condo.
Yes,
you can rent it long term.
You can rent it to a family.
Long term to a family is not a problem.
No problem. Yeah. Okay, that's good to know. Okay, but it's shorter for condo. You said it's not 2 years or no? Is it?
No. The leases are the same. If it's a family sized property, whether it's a condo or a house, then families just tend to stay in place longer than singles or young couples, which you'd get with a smaller property.
Moving homes is involved, so it makes sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But 2 years would not be unreasonable for a condo, for a lease.
The minimum lease would be signed for 2 years, so it'd be harder to find a tenant who wants to rent it for shorter than that.
Right.
If it's a family renting it out, they would expect, and I would expect them to stay in place for not 2 years, but more like 7, 8, 9 years.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, it's not multiples of two. It's 2 years and then plus one.
It's multiples of two, but I mean, they could. The law again is more tenant oriented, so they could say after 7 or 9 years they could say, hey, we want to move out, and then you might get a month or two in compensation from them, but not much more than that. But you as the landlord have the obligation to stick to the multiples of two.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so when you said an uneven number, it's the tenant who decides to
just statistically that's how long family tenants tend to stay in place.
It makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, so what else? I mean, for us, like, we have big questions about.
Big hurry. We just wanted to find out more about
the process and.
And hopefully, we covered the base. I mean, we'll have a lot more toing and froing and answering questions when you're looking at individual listings. We'll point out things. You'll ask questions about it, but basics we've probably covered, I think.
Yeah. Very, very good. You said that you were going to send us some listings as an example, just to give us an idea of like.
Yeah. So if you could just, I'm going to bounce off to another meeting after this. If you could just reply to our last email reminding me to send you a bunch of listings and let me know what sort of criteria listings you want to look at. And then I'll send you either a summary of what we helped people buy, or if I can't find anything that's informational enough. Because sometimes if we don't have the listing itself, there's not going to be a floor plan or photos or whatnot. So I can just run a quick search on the internet and show you what's available at your criteria at the moment on the market.
And also, like, if you had past properties that you've sold, let's say last year or that you helped facilitate, I would love to see examples of that also.
We do, but they don't look like listings. They look like summaries of information, Japanese documents.
What you're saying. Okay, I get it. Okay, I understand. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so that's wonderful.
I mean, we might have, depending on the case by case, we might have saved the original PDF listing if it was available. So I'll try to find some of those for you. Just remind me by email what criteria you want to be looking at.
Okay. Well, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ziv. Super, super helpful.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your trip.
Okay. We're back home now, but yeah.
Oh, you're back already. Okay. You mentioned you were going to Tokyo. I thought you were still sticking around in Japan for a while.
No, we literally just came back from Tokyo like 3 or 4 days ago. Yeah.
Got it.
So, but we're looking forward to go back.
Well, enjoy your jet lag in that case.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
So there you have it. Two similar but different buyer profiles, two different sets of goals and purchase criteria. Hope these conversations brought you some value. Let us know what you think.
Now, we can't let you go without telling you about MailMate, our sponsors and business partners. They offer peace of mind for your property in Japan. They'll make sure that your taxes, your utility bills are all paid on time, liaise with your management company for you, or assist with your parcel delivery while you're out of town. Get in touch with them on mailmate.jp today and mention the Japan Real Estate Podcast for 10% off your first year. And that's it from us for this episode, folks. Huge thank you for tuning in. Please do follow and subscribe to the show if this is your first time listening. And we'd love it if you could like and even share this episode with anyone you think might find interest in it. But even more importantly, we love hearing from you. So please let us know what you thought about this episode or the podcast overall in the comments section here on our social media channels. We've got a very active Facebook group and business page, both under the name Japan Real Estate on Facebook. And that's also the name and URL of our YouTube channel if you'd like to follow us there, Japan Real Estate on YouTube as well. And we'd of course appreciate your rating or review on Spotify or on the Apple Store or wherever you're tuning in from. Hope to have you with us again. Have a great rest of the day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.